Expanded Universe, season 13 or something. You really should have kept count when we started all this. Episode Ditto. Nick at Night reference. That's what we're calling this one. The book is Shadows Rising, a World of Warcraft Shadowlands novel by Madeline Rue. The year was 2018. This is the second to last episode of these, and I hope you choke on it. Let's go!
Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, you know, I'm recovering.
Yeah, we went out like on a young person's schedule the other night, and it was a bad idea.
I mean, I'm fine from that.
You're recovering. You know, you got a headache.
Yeah, I got a headache. I got migraine problems. I have a bad brain, and sometimes it's like, hey, fuck you, buddy.
Hey, don't try and do things.
Hey, what are you doing?
Stay in bed, you.
What are you doing here?
Look, it's been a while since you rewatched season 3 of Smallville.
That's the good one. My brain tells me, obviously bad.
Your brain is lying to you.
My brain constantly lies to me.
There is no good one.
Yeah.
They're all equally good.
They're all so good, it's impossible to call one the good
one. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get at
here. That's what we're getting across.
You should probably watch all of it again, just to be sure.
You should probably watch all 10.
Mm-hmm. Plus read the comics. I think there's 2 seasons of comics.
I'm sure. You know, I've always really been interested in, I mean, on the whole expanded universe topic.
Sure.
The comic tie-ins for several shows, because they did it for like
Buffy
and Smallville and
I think Dollhouse.
Probably. I know like there were some Firefly comics. They've done it for, fuck, what was that? There was some post-apocalypse show. And I mean post-apocalypse in that it was like the year after.
You talking about Jericho right
I'm
now?
I'm talking about Jericho. Jericho Woo! Had a season 3 comic series that came out. And I was like, all of these things, I've been like, oh, that's interesting. I would kind of love to see that. But they are never in a comic book store.
Yeah, and they don't get adapted to trades as far as I'm aware.
Like, no, I've never seen them anywhere outside of people posting things occasionally, be like, oh, did you know in whatever continuation they did this to this character? And I'm like, no, because no one's ever seen it.
Yeah. Plus, I know this is probably just me, but every time I try to check out something like that where I'm like, ooh, there's a Star Wars comic that explains a thing about a thing, the art style, it's like they get like the worst possible. Usually it seems like they just take screenshots, trace over them, and then try and rephrase the background so it looks like they're somewhere new, you know?
I understand the at least desire to do that for some of the tie-in comics where you're like,
well, it's still supposed to look like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, we want people to go like, oh, this looks like the characters I remember. We want to try and get close to it. But you end up getting either into like that sort of Greg Land territory where you're like, God, this is just obviously traced.
Yes.
Or you end up getting someone who's like, well, I don't want to do that. But then it just gets kind of this weird, I don't know, I think it was probably from either like a Buffy or an Angel comic where it just looked like someone doing weird like watercolor stuff. And I was like, man, this is an odd choice for style.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we should check one of those out sometime. We should try and find one and make it a season of Smallville. Like, see if we can find the entire, not Smallville, but a season of this show where we find a season comic run of like Angel or something and just do that.
That has been a thing where I'm like, I feel like we could probably, if I could find trades for at least one of those seasons,
I'm sure they're
do
digital.
That as that.
You can probably find them digitally available somewhere. Like one of those Comixologies or whatever probably has that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but it's definitely been one when I have considered doing, you know, like the World of Warcraft or the Supernatural seasons that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm picking that, I have gone like, I could do one of the comic ones, but it would be much different than what we do because of the visual medium of it.
We'd end up spending a lot of time. I feel like maybe doing one as a bonus thing would probably be the smart way to go, because you end up spending so much time talking about the artistic license that they're taking and the direction that goes in.
Well, so much of the storytelling in comics is a visual medium anyway that you're like, well, I have to explain what's going on in this because that's explaining what's happening. And
yeah, like I just never hear anything good about those seasons of it's a whole extra season of Buffy or whatever. I never hear anything good about the art style or the story or anything. I have been I've been hearing about one recently just because I'm so into JLU and Justice League, like the DC Animated Universe. There is a comic, I believe, that is currently happening that is another season of Justice League Unlimited.
Huh.
Where you've got, or it's Bat Family related, more or less. My understanding is that it finally introduces Jason Todd to that universe where he had not previously been a part of it.
Oh.
When they switch from original Batman to the new Batman Adventures and Robin suddenly gets younger, that is a sudden jump to Tim Drake.
Yeah.
They skip Jason Todd entirely for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Given when that came out, he was unpopular and sucked. Not because he was getting beat to death with crowbars or whatever.
Oh, definitely not because of that.
Yeah. But also, they're bringing in Deathstroke, who otherwise had not made his way into that universe at any point.
Mm.
So that's just kind of a neat thing that's happening. I think they're probably trying to ape the art style of the DC Animated Universe, which is pretty recognizable. It'd be really weird if they decided not to go with it.
Yeah, doing a tie-in to something that was already in sort of a comic-y style like that, and then go, nah, we're not going to do that.
You ever seen that? There's a video game out there, I think it's on the PS2, that is done in that art style, but has nothing, because it's just a Bruce Timm or whoever it is, who was the primary art guy. But has nothing to do with Batman or DC Comics in general. They just hired him as the art guy.
Ah.
And I forget what it's called. I'll have to look it up. At first, I was like, oh, I think it's called The Rise of Sin Tzu. And then I remembered, no, that's Batman, The Rise of Sin Tzu.
Uh-huh.
But there is another one. I'll have to try. It's like a Crow knockoff.
Ah, yes, The Raven.
Yeah, it might be, for all I remember. Anyway, we should probably talk about what we're here to talk about, which is Amway. Folks, how are you set for bone soup powders?
Oh, hey, girl, I've got a great opportunity for you.
You look so good from high school.
Hey, have you ever wanted to be your own girl boss?
We've rapidly adopted the technology that allows you to gatekeep and gaslight yourself from the comfort of your own home.
Oh, Christ.
No,
when last we left our heroes, we were on the verge of a last stand for the Zandalari against the Widow's Bite rebels.
Mm-hmm.
The Widow's Bite had basically taken all but the last couple of Buon Somdi's like temples and shrines and whatnot, and either destroyed or desecrated them.
And they've been working their way inward.
Yeah, and this has weakened Buon Somdi, which in turn has weakened Talanji, as she is sort of metaphysically tied to him and his health.
Yes, because of a deal that her father made in exchange for power right before he lost and died anyway. Because Buon Somdi is a liar.
He's a trickster and a bastard.
Can't trust that Buon Somdi.
And so we got the Horde showed up, Thrall and G. Firepaw at least showed up and made promises that they would come and bring reinforcements. Talanji, however, continuing her streak of I'm a bad ruler for this novel, was like, that's cool. I'm not going to wait for that, and I'm just going to throw dudes into an obvious trap.
I hope that there's still some left by the time they get here, but I don't have especially high hopes. And so she threw Zakan into the line of fire to go try and rescue some people from a temple that was being desecrated. He climbed into a tar pit to rescue a child. Dark Rangers lit the tar pit on fire, and now Zakan is totes messed up.
Oh, yeah. He got basically burned to death.
More or less. Yeah, he did die.
Yeah. Buon Somdi kept him from actually going to the Maw, the super hell of WoW, which is the whole point of the whole Shadowlands that this is a tie-in novel to. But he is currently just like mummified in healing bandages in a room somewhere. And
he also, Buon Somdi wouldn't let him die.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He pulled him back from the Maw.
Well, he was doing it, but he's doing it for as many people as he can, it turned out. That was the big revelation we got at the end of the last book.
Yeah, that the Maw is where everyone is going. It's not just like, oh, well, why would, you know, Zakan, a good person who died saving a child's life, go to super hell? And he's like, oh, it doesn't matter who you are anymore. Everyone is going to the Maw, and I am saving as many trolls as I can.
Yes.
Because, you know, as much as I would love to, you know, be a good guy and save everyone, the only people I really give a shit about are my people, and I'm using the little bit of power I have to keep them safe.
I'm sure that most of the other religions, once they get their ducks in a row, will have some sort of, you know, religious affiliated or a psychopomp spirit that they worship. They just won't call them Loa.
I mean, given that I have played through Shadowlands and that's not the case.
I know, it's weird, right?
I'm like, oh, because no one else has gods that actually exist. Mm-hmm. You've got the light.
You got Elune or Selune or whatever.
Elune. Yeah, you get Elune, who is...
All right, Selune is from Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, okay. Elune is the goddess of the moon and has never appeared, but does technically exist because she will give power to people, though that may just be something else.
Yeah.
But most of the time you're like, oh, do you worship a god? And most people that aren't trolls are like, no, I worship the light.
Yeah, just sort of the light or the Tide Mother, or there's a couple other ones out there.
Yeah, which generally break down to usually spirits of some kind, which the Loa basically are, or just, you know, powerful spirits.
That's literally what they are. That's just the troll word for spirit or god.
Yeah.
There's nothing special about them. We even establish in the Dragonflight expansion that there's a spirit who's just like, no, I chose to be a Loa for the moment. I'm identifying as a Loa because the distinction is irrelevant and I don't care.
Yeah. You could call me a nature spirit, but yeah. I'm a nature spirit that is a Loa.
Yeah. That's good old Khonzu, really just sort of taking a torch to the whole, like, we're trying to have clear delineations between all these things we've introduced, and they're just there like, no,
nah,
you
good.
Can't.
Yeah, the actual, I mean, given both Dragonflight and Shadowlands, there is a lot of, you know what, don't worry about it. There's no such thing as gods. It's all just random spirits.
Y'all just rot in the ground. There's no such thing as Shadowlands.
We want to go ahead and say that never happened.
There's no such thing as ghosts. You just, if you're human, you can be, or sometimes night elf, you can be an undead. No one else, though.
It's wild. So yeah, the last chapter sort of ended with the big revelation of everyone's going to super hell.
Yes, everyone's going to super hell, and that is an obviously bad fate. So now the pressure's on to save Buon Somdi so he can save everyone's souls from turbo hell until...
Or, you know, some trolls.
Or just some trolls, at least.
Yeah. I mean, when you do go to Shadowlands and do Buon Somdi's dungeon, he's like, yeah, I've saved trolls. That's what I have done.
I'll be honest, I have not done Buon Somdi. I didn't know he had a dungeon.
Yeah, you go to the other side is his dungeon, and he is getting shook down by, like, the main god of troll death.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, dude, you gotta give me them souls. And he's like, nah, fuck you, buddy. And the entire dungeon is you going to get power that he has given to other people, has Buon Somdi.
Okay.
Give it back to him so that you can fight this guy.
Does that mean that you get to knock Talanji out of her dumb bargain?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
You do, however, he apparently was like, oh, I don't just give, like, my mojo to trolls and whatnot. Everyone comes to me. And you fight Milhouse Manastorm and Maleficent Manastorm.
Yay, finally, the Manastorms are back.
Yeah, you fight the Manastorms, you fight Hakkar.
Okay, and good old Soul Flayer.
Yeah, it is a weird dungeon, but yeah, you end up being like, okay, well, he very much confirms, oh, I've just been saving troll souls mm-hmm. from this fate.
Because you've got to pay the troll toll.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, that's where we last left our heroes.
Yep.
And where we now rejoin them.
Everything is fucked.
Yeah, the first chapter focuses in largely on Sera Moonwarden, one of the undead night elf wardens that used to serve under Maiev, who is now switched sides.
Yeah, if you listen to our bonus content over at patreon.com/systemmastery at the $4 a month level.
$4 level.
We've gone into some of the background stuff in here, including Sera's whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
But she basically had the most ridiculous and immediate turn of, oh, I died and got raised as an undead, and that means that my goddess doesn't care about me, so now I'm going to be turbo evil.
Yes.
And you're like, all right. I guess.
And she's not the only one. Apparently, the Warden program seemed like it came up with one really, really resolute and good one, and that's Maiev Shadow Song. And then every other one with a name is turned on us already. It's like the other one being Cordana Fell Song, who turned pretty much immediately.
Yeah, we get someone turned into the Fell Demon side. We get someone turned into the Undead side. You're like, all right. And not just like, oh, I'm going to, I guess, now that I am undead, pledge myself to the cause of, like, the Forsaken.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, oh, I'm undead, and that means I'm going to murder everyone, and I hate it, and everything sucks.
Yeah, she's definitely got the same thing that Sylvanas does, where she's an undead night elf, so she's not quite a Forsaken. And in their case, like, I derive no pleasure except that in relieving the life of others.
Yeah, and it's literally in here, Sera's like, oh, the only thing that makes me feel good is killing people because I got killed and my God didn't save me, so everyone else sucks. And I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
because God didn't personally come down and stop you from dying, you're like, well, time to burn down the planet.
That's a pretty good supervillain origin story, really.
Yeah.
I can see it.
The thing is, you're like, okay, but has Elune come down and done that for anyone ever for any reason?
To your knowledge, in yeah. particular.
No, you've been alive for, I assume you're one of the Night Elves who've been alive for like 10,000 years or something.
Absolutely, definitely is, yeah.
And
they are
in
training
that time,
new wardens.
Nothing has ever happened with Elune showing up in person. Why are you like, I'm angry that she didn't show up for me?
I don't know. I feel like granted, my main is a Night Elf, so I both of my mains that I'm playing these days are Night Elves. So, setting that aside, I don't consider myself one. I don't resonate with the Night Elves especially well. It's just that I really wanted to play a Druid way back in the day, and now I'm playing a Demon Hunter a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm like, how many times have I personally witnessed both Malfurion and Tyrande die and come back? I feel like it's a lot. Like, the two of them seem to get constant special dispensation. Like, Malfurion in particular straight up just has a hall pass to the underworld. He's just got, like, a frequent discount card. I think he's entitled to a sandwich.
But it's never Elune doing it. It's always like, oh, and then, like, we got someone to do a special ritual and bring you back. It's never, like, the goddess doing it. And I get that being sort of a standard kind of tropey thing for a villain that was religious. Like, you'd be like, oh, you had a priest and then he got, like, killed and turned into a vampire in a church and been like, ah, oh, the God's protection meant nothing and now I will desecrate his holy image. And you're like,
yeah
I get it. I understand that that is a tropey thing.
That's pretty Dracula. I guess that's stab that cross with a sword, then drink all the blood it gushes out.
Yeah, that is a very sort of like, ah, I have been betrayed by my beliefs in mm-hmm. that, you know, they didn't help specifically me. You're like, all right, sure.
Now I'm in the mood to watch Bram Stoker's again.
Are you ever not?
It's such a good movie. Nothing's edited like that. It's wild. I mean, all the scene transitions are just like a shadow grows and then sweeps across. Oh, it's like Star Wars, but thought out and planned for.
Ah,
instead of just
Starwipe.
Instead of just endlessly self-referential. Anyway, yeah. So our Sierra Moon Warden is the hero of the first chapter, although she's just being a piece of shit. She's just well, there's a couple of survivors left in that temple right there, and that's the last one. That's like the last little thing we got to take out before we go straight to the necropolis and take on Bwonsamdi himself.
Yeah, they have one last before the main, like, his, like, necropolis temple thing.
Yeah, and it's a little village that's right in front of it, because it's full of its, like, most devout supplicants.
Yeah.
People who literally go to his necropolis temple and pray to the death god every day. So they're pretty hardened into their beliefs in death and the death god.
Yeah.
At that point, they kind of loose their bad guys in the building, and some of them come spilling out as Sierra and Nathanos are talking endlessly and hiding.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, they have the whole, like, meeting with Apari there, where Apari shows up. And
she's very near death from sepsis.
Oh, yeah. Even at this point, like, Sierra takes her helmet off, and it is described as being fragrantly rotting inside of it.
Yeah.
And even the undead, even like Sierra and Nathanos are like, damn, Apari, you are stank with rot.
Yeah, she's fucked up. Like, I don't think Nathanos even smells bad. I think he's got special soft boy superpowers for being Sylvanas' special little guy.
Yeah.
So I think he's just blue.
Yeah, no. I mean, we get into why that is later in this very series of chapters.
But no, Sierra be stinking.
Yeah.
And so, but she, even her, someone who genuinely does not care about the lives of others and only is here because it's a good path to murdering for the cause that she thinks is interesting, is like, hey, you know, this other lady that we're traveling with is like a skilled priest. She can fix your leg up.
We got a Dark Ranger that's a healer.
We can fix your leg up. And she's like, no, I cannot have my leg fixed up. It would be cheap in the cause or something. And she's like, yeah, but if you die before we do the thing, then your people will scatter. They're all rallying around you.
Yeah, the only reason that they are here is because of you. And she's like, oh, don't worry. I will live exactly as long as it takes to kill Bwonsamdi and Talanji.
I feel like you couldn't possibly know that for sure.
Yeah. I've got an iron will and I will force myself to stay alive. I'm like, that's not entirely up to you, my man. Like, come on.
But no, they won't let, and she can barely walk now. She's got like one giant fat leg from poison. And we get a, for some reason, this set of chapters is really big on reminding us that she has one of those little pet ticks on her shoulder.
Yeah.
So we get, like, every time we mention Apari, we got to mention her little
fat, and her nasty little tick.
Her nasty, gross little flying tick thing that's on her shoulder. And her bodyguard, Toya, who seems to be more devoted to her than usual, suggesting maybe there was something between them at one point?
Maybe. I mean, we do get a point in these chapters where she straight up slaps Toya.
Oh, yeah. Sends her packing. Calls her a Zagoda or something, which appears to be a dirty word in Zandalari.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But they go in and they sort of flush all the people out. And a bunch of people manage to, in the carnage, flee. And Sera, like, is just waiting by the side of the road. And Nathanos is so bored and knows what just a murder monster Sera is. And he's just like, all right, you can cut this fleeing troll's head off, I guess. You want to give him one last piss before he goes?
Give him a chance to pee or whatever. But no, as soon as he gets near the bush, he just stands up and cuts his head off.
Ugh, I just want to murder and get out of this horrid troll swamp.
Yeah.
Like, all right, sure.
So now Nathanos has his own set of worries that we're going to be discussing here, which is largely that he doesn't want to die here. And he's worried that, you know, he's pretty sure that they've done everything as correctly as they possibly could, and that they should have no trouble accomplishing the goal of killing off Bwon Somdi, because that's what he's here to do, and he always does what Sylvanas says.
Yeah.
He's her special little guy. He even is kind of grumpy because Apari is still wearing that badge that he gave her so she could cast a spell.
Yeah,
and he wants
it
back.
One thing he has.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Because halfway through this chapter, he's like, I got to get that back from her. But Sylvanas does keep telling me to be less concerned about keeping trinkets around. And I always do what she says. He says, patting the other trinket he also has in his pocket that's his extra super special trinket.
Well, he has a vial from her, and I assume it's
full of her
poison.
Bath water. Oh, it's poison. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I assume if he had his druthers, it would be bathwater. But Sylvanas is like, here, if you fail me, poison yourself and die.
Yeah. And he's like, well, did you at least bathe in that poison? And she's like, gross, stop it.
Ew.
We're,
don't like
this
you.
This is the workplace.
You are a colleague.
Hello, security?
Yeah. No, fully Nathanos is the type of person to have, like, a creepy Sylvanas shrine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, she touched this handkerchief and I'll never wash it. And Sylvanas is like, yes, I have a guy and he works for me. I think his name is Nathan. Yeah.
Nathan O. Blightcaller. I think he's Irish.
Yeah, probably.
Nathan O. Blightcaller? Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, like Sylvanas is the type to be like, yeah, I don't give a fuck about this dude at all.
Yeah, yeah. She's been keeping him alive for her purposes, apparently, because we get a big chunk of that later. But yeah, right now he's just sort of discussing his plan for how he's going to survive this encounter. They're going to go in there. They're going to make Bwon Somdi turn up. They're going to kill him. And then they're going to escape by sea.
Yeah. They, send some, like, a couple rangers off. And they're like, hey, go prep the ship, the Banshee's Whale or whatever.
Yeah.
And make sure we're ready to go, because we're the only reason we're not going right now is because, you know, half of our force is living beings that do need to rest.
Yes.
So
yeah,
after we've
trolls.
Taken this, we're going to have them take a rest. I don't need to, but you guys take this message and get the boat ready, because we are going to fuck off immediately when we are done.
The last thing we want to do is stay here.
And then we get Nathanos switching over to his perspective for the rest of the chapter, where he has a wonderful little encounter where we get some backstory for him as he meets the, you know, not actually the ghost of his cousin, his identical cousin.
There's your Nick at Night reference.
They walk alike.
They talk alike. At times, they feel extremely old for having the Patty Duke Show song stuck in their heads.
The weird thing for me is, and of course, this is, again, if you've gone to patreon.com/systemmastery and listened to the backstory, I have done Nathanos' whole deal.
Uh-huh.
But we find out, you know, in this, for those that don't have that, they're like, oh, here he sees a ghost show up and it is his cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And his cousin, who looks basically like a sexier version of him.
Yeah, he's like the good-looking him, apparently, which is weird based on what we find out immediately thereafter. But he's like, you're not real. He sees, apparently, a coin falls in the water. I'm assuming that's got something to do with the whole psycho pomp.
He was like, oh, Sylvanas gave a gold to his cousin to buy his first sword.
Ah, okay.
So that he could join the Silverhand Paladins.
Right.
And so this was all back, you know, when everyone was living. And so this gold coin is like the, hey, here is the token that I got from Sylvanas, essentially.
Yes.
And so he's like, oh, you're not real. This coin isn't real.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude.
I mean, obviously this is an illusion. Or you might even be the real ghost, but I'm on Buon Somdi's sacred grounds.
Yeah. He's saying, oh, you're not real, but honestly, it's like, I mean, it could be the fucking ghost of your cousin. You don't know.
Yeah.
You are in a necropolis, essentially.
Yeah. So he could, I mean, if there's one thing Buon Somdi has access to, it's some ghosts.
Yeah.
His name's Stephen Moras or Morays or something like that. But yeah, he's just like, oh yeah, well, it's you. And here I am, the only ghost that can possibly make you give a shit, huh?
Yeah. He's like, nothing else you would ever see would make you feel bad. I'm the one that makes you feel bad, though,
mm-hmm.
because
of what you did and what was done in your name.
Yeah. He's like, you've killed so many fucking people and caused basically me for hundreds of other people. You feel bad because we find out, you know, at least for those who don't know,
mm-hmm.
Nathanos, when he was sort of first introduced, had been a nasty little ghoul guy. Like, when you see him in like more recent expansions, he just sort of looks like a blue dude.
Yeah, he's like a blue duke. He's got like a beard and everything. He looks like imperious and sort of handsome.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, what are you? I am undead, but in a very who gives a shit kind of way, because unlike other Forsaken, I'm not like missing a jaw or made of bones or anything.
He's even got the glowing red eyes. He just kind of looks like Thrawn. He's like beard Thrawn.
So the reason for that is he was a fucked up, nasty, undead guy who was like just a like ghoul with bones and shit showing and everything.
Uh-huh.
And he started falling apart so much that Sylvanas was like, oh, in order to actually like keep you bodily here, I need to basically Frankenstein your ass into a new body. But for some reason, the only way that will work is if it is a family member that
we do.
It's got
to be related to you. So
it's like bone marrow. Your body will reject it if it's not compatible.
So anyway, back when we were both not undead, you had a cousin, this guy named Steven, who was a little older and wanted to be a paladin when he grew up.
And indeed did.
He became a paladin, and Sylvanas was proud of him back when she used to be like the leader of the Rangers and just a good guy, and gave him some money to buy his very first sword so he could become a paladin.
Yeah.
But then she tracks him down and murders him so she can use him as a body to put Nathanos into.
So Nathanos now is like, oh, that's the other fucked up thing about it is, because we used his body, when I look in the mirror, I'm seeing his face.
Yes.
Like, we looked basically identical to begin with, but he was just the better looking version of me.
Uh-huh.
And now that's what I see. So it's just a constant reminder of that.
Yes. So here's the cousin here to kind of torment him for that. And he's like, look what you did to me. And Nathanos is like, I didn't do that. I was unconscious the whole time.
Sylvanas did that. And he's like, yeah, and you still follow her even after that.
Yeah, she did that. You know how many people she's done that exact kind of crap to? And you're still following her around?
And you do that kind of crap to everyone. Like, you have created so many of me that, like, between the burning of, like, Teldrassil and South Shore and Dark Shore and all of these things that you've done, you have created more torment and horror and haunted people with visions of death than you could possibly imagine. Why are you still doing this, even when you look at me and know you still feel guilt?
Yeah. And he's like, I got to do what Sylvanas says, so none of this is going to work.
Yeah, Sylvanas has a plan, and I gotta see that plan through.
Yeah.
And that plan involves being evil.
Yeah, and even then, he's like, yeah, but you don't even know how powerful they are. I forget if this is him or Buon Somdi who says
yeah,
it, but I think
no,
it's him.
By this point, he's like, look,
he's
fuck you.
Blue.
And it morphs slowly into Bwon Somdi, and he's like, look, man.
You don't know the kind of deal she's made on the other side because you can't go there. I've been there. The people she's made deals with will swat her aside the instant she accomplishes their goal for her.
Oh, yeah. He's just like, look, the actual Lords of Death on the other side are, you think of Sylvanas as being like an unstoppable force because you've never seen anyone able to beat her. She is a gnat compared to these. These are like ridiculous actual gods.
They're fundamental properties is what's happening. And she's just a local.
Yeah. So
like, sure, she's a badass on Azeroth, but when you go there, people are always just like, oh, you're from Azeroth? Quaint.
Well, that's nice. I haven't heard of that place before.
Yeah.
Even though
everyone's
half
from
of
there.
The people that are in positions of power are from there.
They really needed to work harder into creating some other planets and have people be from them. I don't know why they didn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, I know why they didn't do that, because the second you mention another planet, that's canon, and now you have to go there.
That's why when you meet that big bear and Arden whale, they're just like, I'm from somewhere where there were once forests and trees.
I was where it was green and good until the crystal cracked.
You're like, ugh, I can see why you don't want to use a proper noun, because the moment you do, it's canon, and everyone's going to constantly be asking about it.
Yeah, they're going to go, oh, when's the expansion where we go to that planet?
Yeah.
And they don't want to have to do that.
Yeah, I get it. It's just weird and silly. But anyway, yeah, Nilthanos eventually Steven morphs into Bwon Somdi and just vanishes because he isn't quite ready to start the big yells yet. Although, he doesn't say anything here. He's just like, yeah, we're going to start playing by my rules now. You're in my necropolis.
He does the whole, Sylvanas is absolutely fucked. She's made a bad deal.
Yeah.
And you're following someone who is more or less trying to play at being a god and is like a child in daddy's shoes.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, maybe reconsider. Bye.
Yeah. Well, he won't, because he's just too sworn into his one dumb plan.
Yep. He is. Look, he's already carried that printer 3 blocks, and by God, he'll take it all the way.
Yep. So meanwhile, we cut back to Talanji, who is riding on she's being more or less escorted to the battlefield because she's just too far beyond the pale to really be a useful combatant anymore.
Yeah, she's spent the entire night in the healer tent.
With Zakan.
Just sitting by him as he is constantly just mumbling about, like, spirits and darkness and all of this shit from what he saw.
Yeah, he saw the Maw, and you don't want to see that shit. Trust me, it sucks.
Yeah, you can't even mount there. It's it's absolute trash.
You can eventually, but it still sucks.
Yeah, it takes so much to fucking get to the point where you can mount there. It is ass and balls.
I hate it. I do appreciate, though, when you go through as a druid, that it can't give you that mount message about your travel form.
Oh, yeah. Or if you're a worgen and you do the whole running on all fours, you're like, ah, fuck a mount. I run, bitch.
I don't play any worgen. I didn't even know that. That's great.
It's great. Because when you try to mount in the Maw, it goes, your mount will not respond to your call. And you're like, all right, I don't need one.
And I'm like, what do you mean respond to my call? My mount's a blimp. Let me get my blimp.
I have a motorcycle. What the fuck are you talking about?
I turn into this bird. I have so many kinds of mount. You have no idea.
Yeah, I have a kite. What are you talking about? I get on a kite and it flies me around.
Not here. The kite quails in terror. So anyway, Talanji's half dead and she's riding along being like, well, this is all the knights and so on we have. It's going to have to be good enough. It turns out that the terror raids on the Zokalo and Zandalar in general have been enough to dissuade a lot of the wealthy families from letting their soldiers go to war.
Well, it's also been, we get a little bit in the previous one of like, oh, the Widow's Bite have actually gotten reinforced because as they begin to make progress, more people have kind of gone, oh, well, I guess I'll join the winning side.
Yeah.
So you've also had that problem on Talanji's side of like, well, I've thrown away a bunch of dudes at stupid, shitty ambushes that I shouldn't have. And then on top of that, a lot of soldiers are like, I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to wait until this shakes out and then join whoever wins.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got like 20 dudes, essentially. And, you know, she was like, oh, I was hoping that, you know, I had a dream when I was sitting there in that tent that I'd wake up and the Horde would be here and we'd just ride in and I'd have all these reinforcements, but there is no one here. So I guess I'm going to take my like couple dozen troops and make a last stand for good or ill.
So she does that thing where she's like, well, I'm half dead. I didn't sleep all night and I'm literally dying from a metaphysical curse. but it's time to steal myself. Okay, I'm badass again.
No one can tell me I can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. And then she blows her important battle horn, and off in the distance, another battle horn sounds. It's Gondor responding with aid.
Oh, the beacons are lit.
And Gondor will answer.
Dude, these beacons are lit. These beacons are like Sluggo.
Where was Gondor when the Westfold fell? In Gondor?
Yeah.
It's over the mountains. That's over there.
If you look on the map.
Yeah. It's in this cool canyon in New Zealand, actually. Pretty cool canyon.
Pretty cool.
It's pretty neat looking, really. Anyway, yeah, so she hears the second war horn. Her hopes get raised, and then right as they do so, up comes War Druid Loti, who's a quest giver from that expansion, who comes dashing up and is like, "You won't believe it! It's fucking crazy! And she's all tired. They're like, "Calm down, tell me what's happening." The Horde arrived. The Horde is here. They're all porting in all at once. They're using some kind of super powerful teleport mechanic to all get here at once. But she says, "There's a problem. There's been so many raids on the city recently, and you have been saying so much anti-Horde shit that's been filtering down through the upper class that everyone thinks we're being invaded."
Yeah, they all think the Horde is here to take over because we have been weakened.
Yes.
And so she's like, "All right, well, one, fuck yes, hooray, I've got backup. But two, please go to the bazaar and tell everyone we are not being taken over.
Uh-huh.
This is troops to help us.
But do go ahead and don't bother telling any of those like assholes from the Imani and Sand Fury tribes. They're just hanging around down there, just getting in fights with any player characters who pass through for no discernible reason.
God bless.
What are you doing there? Go away."
Love it.
She sends Loti to go calm down the rabble, and then she rides off to meet with the Horde. And sure enough, three of the species have decided to make an appearance. Weirdly, they don't just sort of send a mixed force battalion. Instead, it's Thrall and some orcs, Thalissra and some Suramar elves, and Bane and some Tauren.
Yep.
And not just Bane and some Tauren, but Bane and some Tauren shamans.
Yep.
He doesn't bother to bring anyone else.
Whatever. And they got there because, you know, Thalissra's a portal maker. So she's like, "All right, I'm a mage. I opened up some portals to get here."
And I'm not just any mage, but portals were the whole thing in my backstory. If you play through that part of that expansion, yeah, you realize I did portals all the time.
Even though there is a different Suramar elf who is more about portals than she is.
Oculeth. I assume he was just too busy to be part of this. He was like below the scale line where they're like, "We can't mention that guy. No one knows who the fuck that is."
But she's like, "All right, well, I opened up some portals," and she's sort of disappointed in that. She's like, "All right, well, you've got a couple dozen, so, you know, while that does double the amount of troops that we had, I was kind of hoping for a lot." And Thrall's just like, "Yeah, this is literally all we could get on a 24-hour notice without leaving Orgrimmar defenseless.
And without Thalissra blowing up from trying to teleport them here, so This is a lot. But the other nice thing is that we've officially entered into the "we have arrived as liberators" position for the Horde, where Talanji keeps saying things like, "Well, here's my plan." And like, yeah, that's great. So we're going to go in and kill their leaders, and we're blocking their exit via this avenue. And I know you're about to complain that the swamp is swampy, but don't worry. We brought a shitload of shamans. They can cast water walk, so they're just going to go right in over the swamp. So you mind if we just do what we're good at?
And Talanji's like, "Well, the necropolis is on the border, so it's near water. They'll just leave through boats." And he's like, "Actually, we sent Gazlo and
Lorthamar
on ships to go block that. So if anyone does try to get out on a ship, they will take care of it."
Uh-huh.
And she's like, "Wow, you actually have your shit together, huh?" And they're like, "Yes, Christ, would you have please come to us? We are an entire giant fucking deal."
I really wanted to be like, "Wow, you guys really have your shit together. It's weird that you can't capture that one woman that made me so mad."
Now leave.
Now beat it. I hate all of you.
I am bad at being a person in charge.
I understand. It seems to me like you guys are incredible planners who have an innate sense of ambush. How come I don't have Jaina's head? That's weird to me.
Oh, well, because we made a deal where you don't get to have that.
Yeah.
What you do get to have is your entire empire. You fucker.
But I'm pretty mad still, so...
I mean, at least she does.
She doesn't do anything
before
of that.
The Horde shows up in these chapters. Is like, "Well, I'm going to die, and all these people are going to die, and I'm going to lose this whole thing, and that was the cost of my pride."
Yeah, I do find it interesting that we have in all the chapters we read this week, we get no mention of Matthias Shaw, who is presumably just still sitting in her prison.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I would have thought that would be part of the conduct of, like, oh, well, the Horde will help you, but also you do kind of need to let that one Alliance spymaster go, because we kind of have a treaty with them, and if you want our help, we need to be respecting that treaty right now.
I mean, they basically said that last time. We never got a scene where he was let go, but I assume they're like, well, yeah, we'll let him go eventually. We have storms. We can't do that, and we don't have any mages to get him out of here.
Yeah,
I guess.
And I guess you don't really want to just let him wander the city. That'd kind of break the...
We're not just going to let Matthias Shaw, master spy, fuck around in our town.
Oh, don't be... He's doing that anyway. He found a way.
Oh, he's already been doing it. Yeah. Don't worry.
So, anyway, yeah, they've all got a plan. They've got a three-prong pincher attack they're going to do right there in the necropolis. They're going to end this fight once and for all.
Oh, and they're like, hey, Thalissera, can you, like, teleport some guys there? And she is fucking on the verge of passing out. She's like, yeah, hold on, let me do some coke real quick.
Let me eat a bunch of mana gems or do whatever it is do.
She takes a giant swig of the wine.
Arc wine.
That is basically just magic wine.
It's fermented magic.
Yeah, it's the wine that the Suramar Nightborn drink.
Yeah, and if you would listen to the Patreon bonus content, because I've covered the Suramar elves,
yeah,
then...
So she just takes a big old chug of, you know, alcoholic magic and goes, yeah, I'm good. Let's fucking go.
I like the part where she's like, do I need to go through the... Okay, why do we have to teleport? Can't we just go through the jungle? And Bane is like, hey, you know, if you tried, you'd probably... Your feathers would get all wilty on your cool shoulder.
Yeah, that's going to take too long.
You're not a badass in jungles like me, a plains-running Tauren man.
Yeah, you don't belong in the swamps like a cow. You're like, what?
We also, I think this is fun, as a method of explaining to Talanji the importance of having a diverse faction of alliances. She is going through a whole mental process where her and all of her troops are riding on raptors, but we have to get a full boiled down description of every single thing the Horde guys rode in here on.
Oh, yeah, they're all on
their race mounts.
Their race mounts,
well, sort
except
of.
For Bane, who is on kind of his race
I
mount.
I think he's on a high mountain race
yes,
mount.
He's
on,
he
a,
is
moose.
On a moose.
Yeah. They don't specifically say moose, but they say he's on some kind of massive, shaggy beast with magnificent antlers.
Yeah, it's like, oh, some kind of stag, but with weird antlers.
And
you're like,
bigger.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on a fucking moose.
So he's probably on one of the moose that were a thing from BFA, but it could also be one of them dream stags, or it could be anything. Who knows? But he could be on a druid, for all we know, using that mountain cliff.
A druid. They get there, and then just some druid's like, hey, what up?
Hey, it's me.
It's me, Ramul.
That would be great. But yeah, we get this whole thing where it's like, oh, Thrall's on a wolf, and Thalissera's on a mana saber, and everyone came here on their specific race mounts. It's like a metaphor for how diversity improves the strength of a faction.
Weird.
The whole time I'm like, dude, there's like four kinds of dinosaur you can get from the Zandalar people.
Yeah, but you got to go out of your way to get those.
It's true. One of them cost... Well, you can't get one of them anymore because it was an inflation mount. It was a gold sink mount. And since inflation has happened again, they just canceled it. You can't buy that fucking Diplodocus one anymore. The one that's got an auction house on the side of it.
Boo.
Yeah. So, anyway... That's pretty much that chapter, is them kind of going, all right, well, here's the plan, and here's how we're going to break it down and make it work. She does apologize for what's going on with Zakan. She's like,
oh, yeah,
hey.
She realizes during the thing, she's like, oh, fuck, your guy got absolutely just flavor blasted in a tar pit.
Yeah, and Thrall, to his credit, is like, yeah, but you put him in charge of a faction, right? And we did, too. He knew what he was signing up for.
Oh, yeah, because he wasn't even put in charge. He said, I'll go. Like, he volunteered to lead.
Yes.
And he's like, dude, if he volunteered to lead a group of soldiers against someone, he knew the risks.
Yeah.
It's fine. He's a soldier.
Yep. So we're not mad about that. We're not going to start a little petulant feud with you and then eventually kick you out of the Horde until you bring us his head or whatever. Or your own head, probably. Someone's head.
Somebody's
Everything
head.
Everything's paid for in heads. It's World of Warcraft.
Yeah. It's a head-based economy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I want to live.
Uh-huh. that's where I want to seize the means of production.
So they are going to fuck off and go do that, and then we switch over back to Nathanos, who we get to basically post desecration of this necropolis. Like, they already went in and have absolutely messed up this place. They're like, well, we've either burned down or desecrated all of the holy symbols in here. We've pretty much killed everybody in here. Bwon Somdi has not shown up yet. Like, we still need to physically murder him, and we are waiting for him. We thought he would get baited out by us doing this. So now our plan is we've got some prisoners that are his, like, devotees and priests.
I do think it's very funny that they didn't take into consideration that maybe Bwon Somdi would just not turn up to the fight. They're like, well, we're in his house. He needs to, it's a point of pride for him that he needs to come fight us. And he's just sitting there like, nah,
I'm good.
Like, you guys can stand in my temple all day. I don't give a shit.
You're like, I know you want to kill me. I'm not just going to let you.
Yeah. What if I just stay phased up yours? So they drag out the most devoted of his followers, the ones who live in the village right next door to the necropolis, and make supplications to him each day. They get a full rundown of the demographics of the group. All trolls. Two of them are old ladies. Some of them are able-bodied trolls. And one of them is a little girl, which is exactly who they're going to start threatening to torture.
Oh, yeah. He's like, all right, first things first, get me that old troll. He's like, all right, this guy is an elder, but he's also, like, still fully capable. He's like, I can tell he's not, you know, like, fucked up or anything physically. So he's probably the most in charge but capable of me whipping the shit out of and not dying. So all right, give me that guy.
Yeah, so he comes up, and before he even gets a chance to talk, the troll's just like, hey man, just so you know, we all straight up hardcore worship the troll god of death, like, every day. That's our life.
So, you know, if you're gonna say I'll kill you, my man, wrong people to do that to.
We are fully prepared to die. It is not a thing that scares us, not even the kid.
And even then, when they're like, oh, we're gonna fuck up the kid, like, some of the adult trolls are like, no, don't do that. And the kid is like, fuck you, bring it. I'm 9. Torture me.
Yeah. And they're like, well, we're not going to kill any of you. We're just going to torture the shit out of you until the pain of it.
Oh, but I do love that, like, when he's talking to the main guy, like Tazi, he's like, hey, man, all you got to do is, you know, you're one of his priests. Summon him here. Do whatever ritual you got to do to get him here, and we'll let you leave. And Nasira from the background is like, boo.
Yeah, and he looks over and, like, mouths, we won't let them go.
Yeah, he just, like, shakes his head like, yeah, clearly we're not going to actually let them live.
Which I think is hilarious that he can't keep his stupid warden under control. Where he's like, okay, why wouldn't you just let these guys live? Who gives a shit? They're just some trolls.
Yeah, but Sira's like, the only thing I like is murdering, and you just said I won't get to murder. Boo. Yeah. Don't like. Downvote. And he's like, shut the fuck up, Christ. Why are you the worst?
But basically, even then, they threaten to torture the girl. It doesn't work for a minute. And then the old troll's like, fine, fuck it. I'll summon Bwon Somdi. You know I can't, right? Like,
this isn't like, oh, I do a thing and then he shows up.
Yeah.
This is me asking politely.
This isn't the rite of Ashkente or whatever. That isn't a real thing. I can say some prayers, but if he doesn't want to come, he's a Loa and I'm a guy. Snakes don't respond to mice.
Yeah. This is not a thing that is a guarantee. And he's like, well, go fucking get to it, my man. We'll find out.
Yeah. So he goes over there and does a bunch of prayers until it takes like hours. Until he's hoarse from trying to summon Bwon Somdi, just keeps trying to do it because that's the only thing he's got to do anyway. And eventually, with nothing happening, Nathanos just starts directly threatening the room. He's like, well, you really ought to show up, Bwon Somdi. We're going to torture your little girl follower.
He's just like, all right, start with the fingers, flay them. Make it as painful and long as possible, and then remove the fingers after you're done flaying them, and then we'll move on to other body parts.
But then she's a Zandalari troll, so she'll just press the button for regenerating and just grow all that shit back. So, you know, up yours. This won't work.
But, you know, as soon as he starts fully threatening and doing that, the rest of the trolls start like, oh, we'll also get in on it and do our, like, do the whole ritual summoning thing.
Yeah.
And eventually, once he's like, all right, well, fuck it. Fuck all of you. I'm going to kill you all. Bwon Somdi does finally show up, and he's like, all right, assholes, what up?
Yeah, what do you want? What is all this?
Hey, what? Why?
What the fuck? And this is when he goes like, by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, but this is my direct access portal to the underworld. He says, as thousands of spirits loom up behind him.
He's like, you may have fucked up, my man.
Yeah, I have a huge ghost army here. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if you knew where you were.
But, like, I can get skeletons. I can get ghosts. We got dudes here, man.
I can pretty much just do the end of Raiders anytime I want. Here. This is the one spot where that you're standing in my Ark of the Covenant.
And, you know, to his credit, Nathanos is like, great, everyone, arrows, fucking shoot that Loa.
Just shoot the Loa. I don't care. We're still accomplishing the mission. That's the only thing we're here to do, is we'll just do the mission. So arrows fly, and Bonsomdi's like, oh, you want to do that in my house? He literally yells about his house, and then an army of super fast spirits come flaying out past him to catch the arrows and start fighting all these trolls and shit.
Yeah.
And that is where the chapter ends, is with him just kind of sending battle in, and he's like, well, we're joining battle then, fuck you. And I assume that this is enough Bonsomdi shit to hold this at bay until we get in there to rescue everybody.
Yeah, I assume it'll be like, oh, and now I'll kill you, and then a fucking, like,
single,
I don't know,
troll arrow.
An axe or a lightning bolt or some shit will show up and be like, ha-ha, we're here.
Oh, that is also how Apari manages to get back into the story at this point, because we skipped over the part. We mentioned it earlier, but there's a part here where she goes over to say, hey, old man, Tezzy, I think his name is, the old man troll. He's like, you go do the prayers, or I will put this vial of powder I have in that little girl's mouth, and she'll barf her intestines out through her eye sockets.
Yeah.
And Toya's like, whoa, 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 that's a kid.
Oh, yeah. And Toya doesn't just go, hey, no. She straight up grabs Apari by the wrist, twists it until she lets go, grabs the pouch, and hucks it into the swamp, and is like, there is no chance that you will be doing that shit to a 9-year-old. I watched you do that to a full-ass grown adult man that I hated and was still about to fucking quit over it. No, that's not happening. I'm not letting you do that.
That's the point at which Apari's like, calls her, a Zagota, which I guess is some huge insult, slaps her across the face, and Toya turns and walks away.
Yeah, she's,
and
like, she's done. All right, well, I'm out.
And Apari's like, ugh, whatever. She always comes back. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. And Apari, for her part in this, is like, well, I've got, you know, shaman-ish powers or whatever. Yeah, so she starts lightning bolting spirits.
Yeah, yeah. She starts sending down waves of lightning to block the spirits from managing to crash into the Rangers.
Yeah.
So she's still part of it, but Toya's gone and is probably about to change sides.
Probably.
She'll be the one who meets them outside and is like, yeah, they're in there.
You know, or it's Apari being like, ah, you'll never get close to me, and then like a blade stabs her in the back, and it's Toya.
Yeah, that's probably what, I don't know. We haven't read this book.
No, but I'm like, that's the kind of shit that you expect.
There's 4 chapters left, including an epilogue, so we don't have time for a new person to show up and kill Apari, so that makes a lot of good sense.
Yeah.
It's either her or Talanji, because they're the two who have thematic connections.
Exactly. It would be real fucking dumb of like, oh, I don't know, and then Bane just slapped her with a totem or something, and then it was done. You're like, no, that's not satisfying.
Well, I mean, this is World of Warcraft, which means there's a 90% chance it's Thrall.
Yeah, Thrall shows up and is like, I've never met you, but the elements must command.
Good job, heroes. I'll take it from here.
Blood and thunder.
No, get out of here. I want to kill Garrosh.
Get out of here, heroes. I'll handle it from here. No, boo.
You're lucky he dropped that scorpion robot, or I would not stand for this.
But yeah, there you go. There is the end of those chapters. We've got 1 episode left, and then the wrap-up for this. We are close to done with this book.
And at least it appears to be drawing to some sort of close.
At least. And at least in the last couple episodes, we've managed to...
There's a focus.
...finally be like, hey, you know how this is a Shadowlands tie-in? We will now mention it.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. It really feels to me like they were forced to bring Alliance stuff into this at all.
Oh, yeah.
Like if she had been allowed to, Madeline Rue would have been like, yeah, we'll just do this. This is a Horde book. Why do we need to mention Anduin and shit? We don't. This is a book about the Horde dealing with internal Horde matters. Because I feel like the next 4 chapters, if any of them are about Anduin or Alaria or any of that shit going on, it'll dilute from the fact that we are at the end of this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have basically 4 chapters and an epilogue, and I assume, if anything, either the last chapter or the epilogue will be the point where we check in with the Alliance.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, we have to wrap up this shit, and then maybe we go check in with the Alliance at the end.
If the epilogue isn't specifically about Flynn Fairwind and Matthias Shaw, I'm going to riot. I'm going to riot on the book.
Well, here's the thing. I think you're going to riot.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to riot. I'm going to Atari 40-something riot.
Ah, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Thank you. So, anyway, that's the chapters. We mentioned the Patreon a bunch of times already, but, you know, if you want an ad-free version of your episodes, all in one convenient RSS feed, for the low, low price of like $2 to get the basic stuff per month, then that's over at patreon.com/systemmaster. If you want the bonus content for this episode, plus all the expanded universes or expounded universes going back for years now, then by all means, you can support us at the $4 a month level, which gets you that. There's an additional level at $10 a month, which gets you everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another two shows and
Gary Oldman yelling everything.
I know that's what you get.
I know he says everyone and not everything, but imagine.
But that's what you get if you get the $10. He yells everything.
Uh-huh. He yells everything, and so do his eyes.
Yep, you get all that. You get the ad-free. You get the RSS feed. You get access to secret rooms in our Discord. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, check out the Discord. It's great.
Good stuff. There's good stuff there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again real soon with more system with exciting expanded universe content from the World of Warcraft and the wrap up. And until then, I guess I've been Talanji.
And I am not going to do this outro until you bring me the head of Jaina Proudmoore.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.